Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Charish Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Padavatikacharya, Sotara Sita Shishimada, Divine Grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Kodi Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Charish Lahadidas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sikaho, Shukrishna Chaitanya Prabhuna Chananda Shiad, Waita Giridhar, Shivasiti Govara Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Gopadan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Brihat Madanga Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Garanga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that's correct now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, sixth chapter, text 22. Yasmat andam virajagne. Yasmat andam virajagne Bhutendriya gunatmakaha Bhutendriya gunatmakaha Tadravyam atyagad vishvam Tadravyam atyagad vishvam Gobi surya ivatapan Gobi Surya Ivatapan Yasmarandam Virajagne Bhutendriya Gunatmakaha Tadravyam Achyagad Vishvam Gobi Surya Ivatapan Vaishnavis. Yasmad, from whom? Andam, the universal globes. Virat, and the gigantic universal form. Jagne appeared. Bhuta, elements. Indriya, senses. Gunatmakaha, qualitative. Tatravyam, the universes and the universal form, etc. Atyagat, surpassed. Vishvam, all the universes. Gobi, by the rays. Surya, the sun. Eva, like. Atapan, distributed rays and heat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. From that personality of God, this is Lord Brahma speaking, by the way. From that personality of Godhead, all the universal globes and the universal form with all material elements, qualities, and senses are generated. Yet, He, capital H, is aloof from such material manifestations, like the sun, which is separate from its rays and heat. Purport. The Supreme Truth has been ascertained in the previous verse as Purusha, or the Purushottama, the Supreme Person. The Absolute Person is the Ishvara, or the Supreme Controller, by His different energies. The Ekapad Vibhuti manifestation of the material energy of the Lord is just like one of the many mistresses of the Lord by whom the Lord is not so much attracted, as indicated in the language of the Gita, Bina Prakriti. But the region of the Tripad Vibhuti, being a pure spiritual manifestation of the energy of the Lord, is, so to speak, more attractive to Him. The Lord, therefore, generates the material manifestations by impregnating the material energy, and then, within the manifestation, He expands Himself as a gigantic form of the Vishvarup. The Vishvarup, as it was shown to Arjuna, is not the original form of the Lord. The original form of the Lord is the transcendental form of Purushottam, or Krishna Himself. It is very nicely explained herein that He expands Himself just like the sun. The sun expands itself by its terrible heat and rays. Yet the sun is always aloof from such rays and heat. The impersonalist takes into consideration the rays of the Lord without any information of the tangible, transcendental, eternal form of the Lord, known as Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, in His supreme personal form with two hands and a flute, is bewildering for the impersonalist who can accommodate only the gigantic Vishvarup of the Lord. They should know that the rays of the sun are secondary to the sun. And similarly, the impersonal gigantic form of the Lord is also secondary to the personal form as Purushottam. The Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 37, confirms this statement as follows. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabis tabirya eva nijik rupataya kalabi goloka eva nivasat yakilat mabuto govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the one who enlivens the senses of everyone by His personal bodily rays, resides in His transcendental abode called Goloka. Yet He is present in every nook and corner of His creation by His expansion of happy spiritual rays, equal in power to His personal potency of bliss. He is therefore simultaneously personal and impersonal by His inconceivable potency. Or He is one without a second, displaying complete unity in a diversity of material and spiritual manifestations. He is separate from everything, and still nothing is different from Him. Om Gnanatam Adam Dasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vikamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Godangi Radhe Brindavanishvari Vishavanu Sate Devi Pranamamahi Hare Priye Vanchakalpa Dhrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuna Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasati Govarda Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So like I mentioned, this is Lord Brahma speaking, and he's speaking to Narada Muni. And and he's saying here, he's telling Narada Muni that the personality of Godhead, from the personality of Godhead, all the universal globes and the universal form with all material elements, qualities, and senses are generated. So upon hearing this, one might think, well, okay, if this is Lord Brahma saying that the personality of Godhead is doing all this, he's generating the globes and the elements and the qualities and the senses, and somebody might ask the question, a devotee might ask the question, okay, well, what's Lord Brahma doing then? What are you doing? Because, you know, we hear that Lord Brahma is the chief engineer, and he's saying that Krishna's doing all this, so what are you doing? Well, if you're thinking like that, if you're wondering that, you're not the only one. I mean, Narada Muni was wondering something like that too. If you remember back in the fifth chapter, in a slightly different way, he was asking Lord Brahma. He was saying, "Hey, it seems to me. I mean, on one level, it seems to me that you're doing everything. I mean, you're responsible for everything, creating everything. That seems to be your position. But I'm a little bit." Perplexed by something here, and he says, and he explained to Lord Brahma, but I see you're worshiping somebody. So what's going on here? I mean, I thought you were the top person, but yet I see you're performing tapashin. You know, you're worshiping somebody. So is there somebody superior to you? Am I getting that right? So and then Lord Brahma basically, you know, thanked him for his question. And he said, yeah, thank you, son. That's a good catch. You got it. And then Lord Brahma explains to him that actually I'm just an instrument. And there's a very nice place in the fifth chapter. It's just the chapter before this, where that Lord Brahma states that, and then Prabhupada elaborates upon it, gives a very nice analogy in the purport to make it crystal clear what's going on, as much as possible. So this is from the fifth chapter, text 11. Lord Brahma says, in response to Narada Muni's question about, you know, well, what's going on here? You know, I thought you were the supreme creator. What's that verse, Archie? You know that verse. What's the Sanskrit? You always quote it about the one where Narada Muni's asking Lord Brahma, who's the supreme? Yeah. Translation? Right. Now that's Narada Muni saying that to Lord Brahma, right? Right. See, so he's, you know. So then Lord Brahma has to explain to him that actually, I'm not the top. I'm not the supreme person. And this is part of his explanation. He says, I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence, known as the Brahma Jyoti. Just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, firmament, the influential planets, and the twinkling of the stars are all manifest. All manifest their brightness. Okay, so he's clearly saying there that he's not the origin, but he's in the picture, but he's not. And here's Prabhupada's nice analogy, which really makes it the whole thing a lot clearer. So Prabhupada says in the purport here about this,
Lord Brahma's position. He says, okay, find it exactly right. Just as a small seed, here it comes, just as a small seed of a banyan fruit has the potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his personal Brahmajyoti. And the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. Brahma cannot create the seeds, whatever exactly the seeds are, okay? He doesn't create them. He says, but he can manifest the seed into a tree, just as a gardener helps plants and orchards to grow by the watering process. See, so that really helps, at least helped me, kind of understand the relationship between Krishna, Brahma, and also us. See, there's a... We're like the people who go to the supermarket and buy the fruits and vegetables that, you know, the gardener out there who plants the seeds and waters them grows. There's a big difference. You know, the person who's the gardener is a lot more responsible for the production of food, so to speak, than the person who goes to the supermarket and just shops and buys a bunch of stuff, right? So that's like us, you know, and Lord Brahma's like the gardener. But there's also a big difference between the gardener and whoever the heck is coming up with those seeds, which are pretty incredible things when you stop and think about it. As Prabhupada says here, a banyan tree is in a little seed of a banyan tree, and there's a whole banyan tree in there. And what does, you know, all the other fruits and vegetables. And anyway, as seed is being used in a metaphorical sense here. It's, the seeds are like little packages of intelligence or whatever it is. But Lord Brahma doesn't create those seeds. And that's Krishna. See? So the point is here that, you know, the important thing for us to understand is that as far as the creation goes, yeah, Lord Brahma gets a lot of credit, but Krishna does the heavy lifting. You've heard that expression? Krishna does the heavy lifting. It's Krishna who's responsible ultimately for the creation. Lord Brahma is the gardener. Gardener gets a lot of credit. I'd like to be a gardener. That would be fun, you know, to produce, do all the gardening and come up with all these nice different fruit trees and plants and things. But, you know, you can't take credit as if you're like the original, real creator of the whole thing. That's Krishna. Krishna does the heavy lifting. So whatever you know, is in creation, is being in existence. Lord Brahma is like the gardener. Okay, so the next point in this purport, getting back to today's so Prabhupada talks about how this material energy, he says it's not, let me see how he describes it as the Lord is the ekapad vibhuti, the material energy is a manifestation of the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is just like one of the many mistresses of the Lord by whom the Lord is not so much attracted, as indicated in the language of the Gita, Bina Prakriti. So I'll say something about that. It's kind of, Bina means separated. Prakriti is, you know, the energy. So it's the separated energy. And the analogy that came to my mind is, well, that's understandable because, you know, elsewhere we hear how the material energy is like the prison system, you know, like a reform school, prison. Well, let's use the prison system, okay? So the prison system is there, and it's a government department, and the government is, you know, funding the prison system and running it, basically, ultimately, except for these days, a lot of them are privately run. It's become a business, but anyway, we won't go into that. But, you know, the government's running the prison by funding it, so many different other aspects of the management. But, you know, on his day off, or put it on his vacation, on his two-week vacation, very unlikely that the President of the United States is going to go visit the prisons. It's not an attractive place. It's there. It's part of the whole shebang, so to speak, but it's not an attractive place. I mean, well, would any of you want to go visit the prisons when you get 2 weeks off? No. It's, you know, you just, it's there, it's okay, it's part of the whole government, part of the United States, but it's kind of, you know, the expression, you wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. It's kind of like that. You'd keep it at a distance. Well, I don't want to deal. It's unpleasant. So that's Krishna's bina prakritism. You know, he's not so attracted to it. He's not so interested in it. But he is interested in the pure spiritual manifestation, you know, of the tripad vibhuti. Okay, and Prabhupada now, he talks about the universal form here in this purport. Says, how he leads into that, this is the impression I got as I was reading this purport, that, you know, Krishna's not so attracted by this ekapad vibhuti. He doesn't really want to, he's got responsibility there, but he doesn't want to have so much to do with it. And it talks about how he generates the material manifestations by impregnating the material energy, and then within the manifestation, he expands himself as the gigantic form of the Vishvarup. And then it talks about the Vishvarup. And it says that the Vishvarup, as it was shown to Arjuna, is not the original form of the Lord. The original form of the Lord is the transcendental form of Purushottama or Krishna. So as far as this universal form goes, universal form, as we've heard in the classes by Judhakarma, there's a bunch of universal forms. There's this one that was shown to Arjuna. There's one that's described to Maharaj Prickett by Sukadev Goswami and others. But in general, the devotees aren't so much interested in the universal form. It's not that important. Like, for instance, Arjuna. Okay, why did Arjuna want to see the universal form? Well, he really didn't. I mean, he had no personal thing, and he wanted to see the universal form. Arjuna's motive for asking Krishna to display the universal form was that he wanted to set a precedent. He wanted to establish a criteria that if somebody's going to come along and say that they're God, you know, then you could ask them, okay, you're God? Great. Let's see your universal form. Because if you're God, you should be able to produce the universal form. Because Krishna, when he did, he produced it. So he was setting a precedent. He was asking Krishna to set a precedent and establish a criteria. It was preaching motive, basically. See? So anyway, so what happened was Arjuna asked Krishna to do that. And Krishna said, okay, I'll show you the universal form. And he showed him the universal form. And then at some point, Arjuna, it didn't take too long. Arjuna had to go, whoa, Krishna, this is like a little bit more than I can handle, you know. Remember? In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita there, he goes, Krishna, okay, I think I've seen enough. You know, take it back. And he basically asked Krishna to do that. And then Krishna obliged. And there's one verse here where, Krishna talks about that, and Prabhupada says something interesting in the purport that gives us some insight into why the universal form is not attractive to the devotee. But so here's what Krishna says in response to when after Arjuna asked him to, you know, show him the two-armed form again. He wanted to go back to the other thing. And Krishna says, you have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. So, you know, Arjuna was asking, let me see a two-armed form again, or at least a four-armed form, but not this universal form. I had enough of that, okay? So then in the purport, Prabhupada explains, he says, a devotee is not much interested in the universal form, for it does not enable one to reciprocate loving feelings. That's it. That's the essence right there. Either a devotee wants to offer his respectful, worshipful feelings, or he wants to see the two-handed form of Krishna so that he can reciprocate in loving service with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, so that's devotee's mentality. Devotee wants to do that. He wants to reciprocate in loving service with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the universal form doesn't facilitate that. So it's really not something that the devotee is very interested in, at least for the purposes of his own personal advancement and devotional service. And if you remember, it's not just Arjuna that had that reaction. there's a couple other devotees also that really didn't have a great experience with the universal form. I mean, Modi Yasoda, she saw the universal form, and she didn't ask. She just asked Krishna to open his mouth, right? Because he got accused of eating dirt by his brother, was it? By Balaram? Right, yeah, everybody. They're all the cowherd boys were accusing Krishna of eating dirt, and Balaram was part of the conspiracy. And basically, you can call it that. So Krishna said, okay, Mom, you think I'm eating? Look, just look in my mouth. And Mother Yasoda looked in his mouth, and she saw the universal form. And her experience was like, she got bewildered, right? So much so that she didn't ask to take it away, but Krishna could understand that she was getting very bewildered, so he just went back to normal. So she didn't have a good experience with the universal form. And Markandeya Rishi, he even had a worse one. Markandeya Rishi was kind of got what he deserved. Well, I mean, I know he's a very elevated devotee, but he was kind of curious, right? And he said, he was offered a benediction, was it? And he asked to see the universal form. He kind of thought, well, this could be far out, you know. And then he regretted it because he had a Krishna, you know. Anyway, he had a really, he saw like the waters of devastation. I mean, he got very frightened. He got very frightened by the universal form, and it didn't kind of end as quickly as he would have liked it to, but it had a happy ending ultimately. But, you know, he also didn't have a good experience with the universal form. And one other thing about the universal form was, even as a preaching thing, you know, Arjuna did ask Krishna for that reason because he, you know, wanted to establish the criteria. But it's questionable as to whether it's a very effective preaching thing because when Krishna went to negotiate peace with the Kauravas, and at one point he was there confronting Duryodhana, and he showed a universal form. Not the same universal form that he showed to Arjuna, but he did show a universal form to Duryodhana. And it didn't work. I mean, it worked in the sense that Krishna showed the universal form, but it didn't transform. It didn't convert Duryodhana. In other words, Duryodhana didn't get it from that. He, you know, as a result of seeing Krishna's universal form, it's not like he thought, uh-oh, I think I might be making a mistake here about how I'm dealing. You know, my understanding might be. No. He just kind of thought, oh, this is just some mystic trick. Right? And he just continued on in his same mentality. So it wasn't so effective as far as that went either. So that's about the universal form. Okay, then there was one a little bit further down here in the purport. There was one phrase that really caught my attention and I found interesting. What Prabhupada says here, he's in his translation of that verse from the Brahma Samhita, he says... Govinda enlivens the senses of everyone by his personal bodily rays, resides in his transcendental abode called Goloka, yet he is present in every nook and corner of his creation by expansion of his happy spiritual rays, equal in power to his personal personal potency of bliss. So happy spiritual rays. I think that was the first and only time I'd ever come across that. Happy spiritual rays. So that's a nice thought. You know, that everything, the entire creation, material creation as well, is being permeated. Everything's permeated by these happy spiritual rays of that are emanating from the body of Krishna. So that's interesting. And so that made me think that, you know, ultimately, there's goodwill and benevolence underlying even the material creation. Because it's all, you know, these happy, it's all resting upon Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, these happy spiritual rays. So here's an analogy that, I mean, hopefully it's not too far-fetched, but imagine, say somebody's in a prison, somebody's a criminal and they're in a prison. And so that's not a pleasant experience. But at the same time, that prisoner, he can appreciate that, wow, you know what? I mean, I committed a crime. I knocked that old lady down and grabbed the purse and, you know, she got hurt and they caught me. And that's why I'm in here, you know. So I deserve it. But boy, it's pretty good. I mean, you know, if somebody would have done that to my mother, I would have killed them. You know, but here I'm just being put in this prison and being, you know, punished. They're trying to reform me. And meantime, I've got a nice cell. It's got a, you know, it's got a heater in it. It's got running water. I mean, I get fed a couple times a day. And look at the place. It's not so bad, you know. In other words, the prisoner is appreciating that, okay, this is kind of a nice prison. I mean, it's, you know. So in other words, even in the material world, it's being permeated by these happy spiritual rays. It's permeated by some, you know, some benevolence and some goodwill. And there's even a conditioned soul suffering in the material world should be able to see that there's some sort of a, you know, love or friend behind this whole thing. I mean, okay, you know, we're here, we're conditioned souls, but Krishna's giving, you know, it's a lot of things that are enjoyable. You got the fresh air, you got the sunshine, so I equated that with the happy spiritual rays, that underlying material life, there's these happy spiritual rays. There's something you can, there's one, I can't remember the conversation, I remember Prabhupada said, he made the comment something to the effect, can't you see there's a friend behind the, you know, the material energy like that. So I kind of tied that in with that. Anyway, but ultimately we're interested in not the happy spiritual rays. We're interested in the happy spiritual person that the happy spiritual rays are coming from. And that, of course, is Krishna. Krishna is the source of all those happy spiritual rays. Okay. What time is it? 20 after? Okay, I could stop there. Does anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to say about any of those points? Yeah. Set a precedent, establish a criteria. I don't know. Okay. What would I say? I don't know. Anybody? Can somebody help me out with that? I challenge somebody and I say, can you show me a universal form? And they say, well, you don't qualify to see the universal form. What would be the counter response? No, he's saying I'm not qualified for him to show me the universal form. I'm challenging somebody. If you say you're God, show me the universal form. And then he comes back and says, well, I'd show you my universal form if you were qualified, but you're not qualified. What would be my counter response? Yeah. Make me qualified. Yeah, you're God. You can make me qualified. Yeah, if you're God, you could do anything. So make me qualified. Anyway. Might be tough to deal with somebody that's that much of a rascal. Yeah, go ahead.
And say, well, hold on. We have, Actually, in the creation of God, there's a lot of beautiful things that we can also appreciate, like the beautiful flowers that you see, the smells, and, you know, the rivers, cascades, and everything. And the person doesn't necessarily has to be really bad to feel like, wow, you know, or really struggling and suffering. We also have people who, within the prison house, we have people who appreciate, you can say, nature, and in that way, maybe God. So the point that I'm trying to make is that it doesn't really necessarily appear to be really horrible. And
well, you know, we're all being reformed. Everybody, all the conditioned souls here in the material world being reformed. But, you know, we're not all on the same level. It's just like when you're in the educational system. Not everybody's in kindergarten. You know, there's kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, you know, junior high school, college, and then graduate. See, so, you know, the further you go in the educational system, the higher up you go, the more you have freedom you have. You know, first in kindergarten, you had to be in the classroom, you know, until your mom and dad came or somebody came to pick you up. Or something. When you're a postgraduate or something like that, you know, they just tell you, well, you're going to write your thesis. Okay, well, let us know when you got it all together and well, you have to defend it. You know what I'm saying? So people, souls are on all sorts of different levels here in the material world. And that's why some souls are suffering like dogs or worse, you know, and some souls seem to be, you know, having a pretty good time. And especially if you get past these middle planetary systems, even above Svargaloka, you got Jhanaloka, Maharloka, Jhanaloka, Tapaloka, like that. And, you know, they're sages. And I don't think they're sitting around thinking like, well, we're really suffering. No. But at the same time, they're still conditioned souls, and they're still in the material world, and they still know that, you know, with their intelligence, they can understand that I'm okay. I'm having a pretty good time here, but there's still, I know this is not, the situation I'm in is not ideal. I got to go to the spiritual world for. So I think it's something like that, that people are on different levels according to their karma. You know, you get a particular body and you experience life in a particular way. But we're all here to get reformed. Everybody's a conditioned soul is in that reform school, so to speak. But we're all, some are in kindergarten and some are in, you know, doing PhD work. That makes sense? Anybody else have anything they want to? Okay, thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.